With us at Ember Hills. We're in the middle of an end-of-the-year series that we usually plan every year before our new series start up in January. And this is the second of... That's kind of small back there. This is the second of four. And the theme is serving others like the Savior. And the particular topic I have is serving others with compassion. Okay, yes. So, Brother Friesmeier on Sunday looked at friendship, and I'm going to look at compassion. And Lord willing, this Sunday, Brother Brown will look at faithfulness, and then Barry will close us out with boldness on January the 3rd. So this is kind of how I'm going to run the class. I'm going to first define what is compassion, and then I'm going to have a I think there's five questions, maybe six, that I'm going to pull up some scriptures, and with these questions, we're going to look at and kind of ask these questions about what motivated Jesus. We see the scriptures say he was moved with compassion. Since he is the one that we're trying to emulate, then the things that he shows compassion about, it should be rightful so that we should also try to have the same kind of compassion. So we're going to, as I said, we're going to look at some stories, and I have some questions, and then hopefully I get a lot of dialogue. I don't want to just be up here just mumbling along. I want this our family to get here and talk about Jesus, talk about the things that he was compassionate about, and that his people can be passionate about. Now I'm going to lead us off in prayer, and then we'll get started. Our blessed Father in heaven, we indeed are grateful and thankful to call you our Father. We're thankful for this gathering of your people and for the sole purpose of studying your word. We're thankful for this opportunity and for this place in which we live where we can do it without any trouble from the authorities. We pray, Father, we always take advantage of these times to build one another up, to study thy word, Father, and to learn more about your son and how he lived, that we too can be these lights in this world, and particularly, Father, about this topic of compassion. Ask you to bless this time that we have together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. So just defining what compassion is. So one of the things I did before I even got started, I did Google Jesus and compassion, and there's a bunch of stuff that came up. Particularly the things that came up from a lot of churches and places, they all had to do with shelter and food and other things like that. Which, those things are okay, people taking care and looking after, but we want to look at what Jesus and compassion, when it says that he compassion. Can you guys see that? See this well? Okay. I saw some squinting, and I didn't know if that was too small. Just this definition here from Webster: a suffering with another, painful sympathy, a sensation of sorrow excited by the distress or misfortune of others, pity, commiseration. Compassion is a mixed passion, compounded of love and sorrow, at least some portion of love generally attended the pain or regret, or is excited by it. Extreme distress of an enemy even changes enmity into at least temporary affection. And Webster said the verb of that is to pity. Vines says it's to have pity, the feeling of distress through the ills of another, to be moved as one inwards, to have mercy, to show kindness. And Thayer denotes the inward feeling of compassion that abides in the heart. These two Greek words, and what I tried to do for this class, I used a concordance and I looked up the word compassion, and all the places that compassion was listed in the gospel accounts, because we want to look at how Jesus, when it talks about him and compassion, that didn't look at everywhere else. There's 14 places in the King James that has the word compassion. If you have other translations like I use, the ESV, you'll see mercy or pity. But on your left, I can't pronounce these Greek words, but I'm going to say G1653. That particular word is only used twice, and it seems to be a little bit different from the one that's used prominently in the gospel accounts. And it seems to suggest more of someone that's on the receiving end of mercy than the one that's actually giving mercy or showing mercy. And we'll look at that in Matthew chapter 18 verses. In Matthew chapter 18, we'll look at that. And it's used twice in that connection. And the other one, G4697, again, to have your bowel yearn. This emotion or this trait. It's like comes from the inside, from the bowels, and wanting to show and to be moved by compassion. And this, and you can see, be moved with compassion is used a lot in the gospel accounts as we're going to look. And it's used 12 times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Okay. About compassion. Since we're trying to emulate this, because God shows compassion and we want to emulate Jesus, God doesn't have to work at being compassionate. That's a natural trait of His. It's that it's we have to work on that. Colossians 3:12. One of the things that Paul was telling, first he had a list of things to put off, then he said put on. One of those things was put on a compassionate heart. And so those are one of the things that we have to make an effort to put on. And we actually need it in order to follow Jesus and being compassionate. Without it, we're not going to be very compassionate people. And to prove the point in Matthew 18, if you can't read it, why don't you follow along? I'm going to read Matthew 18, verses 21 through 23. Matthew 18. Verses 23. This is a familiar text we've read about with Jesus. Peter had come to Jesus asking him about forgiveness. And in verse 22, he said to Jesus, I have to back up one to talk about what Peter, verse 21. And Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I did not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell to his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw that he had what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all your debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? These two words, that first one, as I suggested, the G1653, it is the same. It is used twice in here where it says you should have had mercy or compassion if you have the King James. And you can see that the master is saying, because you've had mercy shown to you, you should have been shown mercy to someone else. And so in the middle of this, I believe this is what why we have to, without a compassionate heart, we won't be able to go forward. if we don't realize the debt that we have, if we don't realize the debt we owe, we cannot be compassionate to others. And so this is, I believe, what Jesus said. The other, the G4697, that's actually in verse 27, who says, out of pity, out of the compassion, out of the bowels that the master shown to him, he should have been turned around. Because mercy or compassion was shown to him, he should have turned around and showed it to this servant. So that's how I believe we can go forward in looking at these look at these other texts. So let's look at a few things. I picked maybe about five or six different stories would suggest that says that Jesus was moved by compassion. And like I said, we've got a couple of questions. We're going to run through them. Some of the questions won't be applicable to all the texts, but we're going to use the same ones over and over as we go through this go through these texts. So, the compassion of Jesus for the lost in Matthew 9:35-36. Matthew 9, verses 35 through 36. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So these questions here. What moved Jesus to show compassion in this story? What are some obstacles in showing compassion? Can there be negative reactions to showing compassion? How are we to show compassion? And then suggestions on how to be prepared to demonstrate compassion. Again, not all of these may be applicable to the particular text, but this is going to be the same questions I'm going to have for the text that we're going to look at. So, what motivated Jesus to show compassion in this instance? He saw a need. Okay, all right. He saw the need and. So to satisfy the desperate, he had the power and the ability and the willingness to take care of a need. I'm repeating this because I know, trying to help out Josh in the back translating. What else? Go ahead, Marty. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Right. Okay. All right. A counterpart, you just like I said, my translation, harass, trying to be the counter of that, to stand in between maybe you and a bully almost this thing. Who's doing the bullying here? According to Jesus, what does he see is do you know who the bully is by what he wants, what he desires? Okay. He said they look helpless, and again the ESV, they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Okay. All right. Okay, distressed and scattered like sheep. And that would probably look more like a shepherd out there, and the sheep are all out of the place. Lost. Okay. Okay. Who was responsible? Who was the responsible shepherd? Ben just gave us a great a sermon a couple of weeks ago from Psalm 23 about the Lord is our shepherd. Who were supposed to be the shepherd of God's people at that time? Say it again. Okay. All right. So the ones that were responsible to teach were not doing the teaching. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So for us, so Jesus looks out and see these people, and they look like, from him, like a shepherd. They're scattered all over the place and all of these things on the. His response is, what is his response? What does he see when he see these people scattered? Other than the sheep, whatever, but what does he want to do? Okay, go ahead. A harvest. And what does he need for this harvest? So when I'm from Chicago, so concrete. I don't know about things growing, seeing much of. We don't have many trees and grass. But those that are farmers and understand it, what did he, go ahead. Okay. And this is so important that Jesus is asked to pray earnestly for the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So, for us, how can we emulate this? Is it possible to emulate this? Look out on a group of people. Go ahead, then Doug. Go ahead, Doug. Okay. So for Jesus, their need, even though there may have been other things going on, harassment, some other sickness possibly, and some whatever other thing, what was the primary need that Jesus saw that these people needed? A shepherd, and because what's going on? What do they need? I'm sorry. They need compassion. What's their problem? I show this problem. Probably asking the wrong question. They need teaching. Yes, go ahead. Right. Okay. more to you. And do more. All right. All right, let's look at a second one here. Pardon me. This is from Mark 6, verses 30 through 34. Mark 6, 30 through 34. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while, for many are coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on their feet, on foot, from all the town, and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, the disciples came to him and said, 'This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late.'" What motivated Jesus this time to show compassion? Is it the same thing? And is the same thing. And what did he do about this need this time? He sat down and he taught. So again, I think in these where the focus point or the primary thing that Jesus is, what he's concerned about is the proper teaching to save these souls. Without it, whatever the Pharisees were doing or not doing, whatever the Sadducees were doing or not doing, it was not going to get these people in the position that they needed to be. He saw a need and he reacted to it, and he sat down and he began to teach. What, again, are there any obstacles to showing compassion like this? When you see a crowd of people, go ahead, Poe. So Jesus was tired, the disciples were tired, they were already busy, but seeing this, he didn't think about himself, but the compassion drove him. What had just happened before this? You guys remember what had happened before this? I'm sorry? Before this, if you look... Right. So, John the Baptist is beheaded, and then all this stuff go on. And those would have been rightly for him to move and just think about and concentrate on those things. But when he saw this, he just stopped his what was personal, what was okay to do, and he said, "This is more important for these people, for me to teach them. They need someone to teach them." And so I just couldn't help thinking about, you know, us. What is the obstacle that keeps us from teaching, from sharing, from doing the things, for showing compassion? What are the things? Is it our personal, our schedules? Is it the personal things in our lives? But do we see people as lost people? I have a hard time, you know, after looking through these, about Jesus looking into the crowd, I'm going to have a hard time looking at crowds now and not pay attention and saying, these people may be out enjoying a ball game or doing something like, but to also think, how many of these souls here are lost? How many of them need to be taught? And what can I do about that? Now, I know the numbers are overwhelming. We're going to get to some individual things, but what are you going to say, Vera? Somebody else. So it's a lot easier individually than to think about. That's right. Right. And thinking about personal, I'm going to skip through this here. And I'm going to look at here in Mark 1, 40 through 45. This is one of my favorite... I'm sorry. Oh, Sewell, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, and what I was trying to say, and when I see the crowds almost is my excuse. Oh, this is the thing, I can't do this, so I just, you know, do something else. Where the Lord has told us what to do. And then when we have individual responsibilities, we have opportunities, we can do it. One of my favorite parts of Scripture about Jesus' interaction with this leper. From Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity or compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, and go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing." And Moses commanded for a proof to them. But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in a desolate place, and the people were coming to him from every quarter. What motivated Jesus' compassion this time? Why was he moved with compassion? So what does that say on that man's part? What did he have? He had faith, right? He even approached Jesus and said, if you will, can you do this? What's remarkable to me about this is, does Jesus need to interact with this man to heal his leprosy? Why did he do that? His love for his compassion? And so part of the knowledge and understanding what leprosy, what it does to a human being, how it ostracizes him from his community, and from his God in a way. He cannot go into the temple and worship because of the leprosy. So he's all alone with other lepers. That's it. What are you going to say, Doug? Okay. So, we don't run into a lot of lepers in the United States. I don't think we run into any. So, what would this be for us? What would be kind of a comparison for us with someone like leprosy? Go ahead, William. What were you going to say, Chester? Someone with AIDS. That would be, I guess, akin to isolation for the most part, maybe. And those things that feel a sense of loneliness, and people don't want to be around them, and you don't want to be around them. Go ahead. So what do we do? How do we show compassion? Try to help them if you can. What is one of the things? Rachel. Go ahead. So there's some investment that we're going to have to make. And we're just talking about sickness now. What is leprosy usually in the scripture? What is the other comparison? Leprosy is like what? Sin. Go ahead, Larry. To be involved with someone, to get involved in their lives, that's a messy, messy business. And we have to, you know, we're going to sacrifice a lot of ourselves in trying to help those. And like I said, thinking about leprosy, thinking about sin. Sin has the same effect as leprosy. It will, depending on what you do, can ostracize you from society. And particularly, it does separate you from God. And so we, in showing compassion, which it may not seem, they need that teaching. and we have to get to know them. A lot of these things, it seems easy because Jesus had the ability that we don't. He knew people immediately. It's going to take time for us to get in people's lives and invest in people's lives. And that's difficult, and it's an ugly, can be ugly and is ugly. But the compassion, because again, we go back to the debt that we feel. The debt was played for us. That's on our hearts and mind. And we show compassion because we know what was done for us. Go ahead. Yes, we said that. No. Mm-mm. That's right. Thank you for bringing that back up. But yeah, that was the first thing you said. That's where he asked him, if you will. He's showing the faith that he was. And yes, and this is not... And I guess I can stop here. I've got a couple of slides that I'm going to probably have to... give all my time to Barry because he has about 100 slides for you guys next Wednesday. But if you took care of, if you eradicated every physical thing that is plaguing mankind, and no one's taught the gospel and obeyed it, have you done them a, is that a disservice or a service? I mean, you may live, you think about it, an individual may, an individual may have a lot, you may give a person a life free from any pain or suffering, and then they die separated from God. What have you done for them, really? You haven't done anything. And that's why you see the first two, that's why I picked the first two. Jesus' emphasis was on the souls of these people, the teaching that they needed. He didn't ask to pray for more laborers to go out and help people. Now, individually, we're going to run across and we'll have access to help people in those needs. But what he prayed for is that we need more teachers to teach people the truth, because they're separated from their God. And if they don't get this information, they will spend eternity without him. And that is the primary message. But because of the compassion, we run into these other situations of physical needs and these other things that we do, but the primary has always been the spiritual needs of man. And that's what Jesus came and died for. Right. Yeah. So, in the man failing, what Jesus told him to do is like, don't tell anything. Can you see why he failed? Can you understand why he failed? I know we look at it, he should obey what he said, but can you see why he failed? Because compassion and mercy was shown to him, and he wants to tell other people about it. We're back at the Matthew 18 that I was talking about. Once that is shown to you, you're supposed to can't even keep it in. And then I can't withhold it from anyone. I have to show it to someone. And that's why, in that case, he's like, how in the world would you... Compassion was shown to you, and now you're going to withhold it from someone else? That is always on our hearts and minds. If it doesn't start there, we're unable to do the things that the Lord has asked us to do. Go ahead. I'm sorry. That's right. Sure. Right. Mm-hmm. see the first bell. I think I may have one or two slides left. And Lindsay hit on something. I'm going to go forward here. I think this is one of, next to the last one. And this is from Luke 7, 11 to 13. I'm talking about addressing emotional needs, but I don't know if this is a proper word to say emotional needs, but I like, and I have to go back for my notes to read this before the bell rings, but it says, soon after he went to the town called Nun, and his disciples and a great crowd went to him. As he drew near to the gate of the city, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. And we know that Jesus goes on to raise the son. We know that we're not in the raising business. But for someone that is, I tried to, and I didn't do a good job, but I tried to find different things, different scriptures that pointed to different things that Jesus, when he says he had compassion, whether he was talking about food, whether he was talking about some physical ailment and these things like that, showing compassion. This one here about emotional needs, someone passes away, and Jesus comforts them by raising the son. Now, we don't have that ability to do that, but what can we do in showing compassion when something like this has happened to someone? Weep with those who weep. Yeah. Our sister Nestor, we know, passed away a few months ago. And her family that lives all the way in Ohio came down. And we were a bunch of strangers to them. Didn't know anything about us. And what was shown to them while they were here how we looked after the kids, how we looked after Ernesto, how we took care of them, even when at sometimes when you're showing, it's hard to show compassion when it seems like someone's being abrupt, someone's just not being the most friendliest person, but yet you pushed through that and showed compassion. She posted something on Facebook the other day, and she was just thanking everyone that for their expressions and about their unexpected past of her sister. But one of the things she did mention in here, she's trying to find a good place to start. She wrote a lot here. Well, thanks everyone. When my sister passed away, so unexpectedly, I was lost. I don't want to thank everyone and how much I appreciate you all when she left. I took responsibility of raising the three nieces and one nephew, and no one obliged me to do anything. But she talks about the cards that came from this church family that was sent to them when she was feeling her lowest, and they got her through the day. And she would love to thank all the individuals, but she said there's too many people. Now she lives in Ohio, and people are still pouring out compassion on her. She's still grieving her sister. And as we talked about, individually, not a crowd, we can help people out, and he's physically, but what we're hoping on, and I know what Melissa and the rest of us have prayed, is that God would use those children, that we wanted them here with us, that he would use those children in that home in Ohio in a way that we're hoping that some brethren would take them in, would worship with them, and that it's some kind of way that she would learn the gospel. That's our primary thing we were concerned about, is her soul. But while we're doing that, we were showing compassion for those other things that when we have opportunity to help people in. I don't know if this was helpful. I hope it was to you. Thank you for your kind attention and for your comments. And the class is over. Thank you.